When you think about, say, turbulent weather patterns or maybe complex chemical reactions, there's this inherent chaos, right?
Absolutely. Things are messy, unpredictable.
So how do we even start to model that, especially when randomness isn't just like a side effect, but is actually driving the whole thing?
Well, that's exactly where this fascinating area of mathematics comes in.
Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're plunging into something called stochastic partial differential equations, or SPDEs for short.
These are the heavy-duty tools mathematicians use for exactly those kinds of systems.
Right. They combine the usual complexities you get with partial differential equations, things changing in space and time, but then they add in this unpredictable stochastic element, the randomness.
Exactly. It's about modeling systems that evolve under the influence of noise.
And our mission today is to unpack a pretty technical source. It's a survey paper called Nonlinear SPDEs and Maximal Regularity.
It is quite dense, yes.
Yeah, it's dense, but we're going to try and pull out the key insights for you, give you a shortcut to, being well informed on this. We want to unpack the framework mathematicians are using to understand these really turbulent, noisy systems.
Sounds as a plan. Where should we start?
Let's start right at the core. There's this central equation of the paper, equation 1.1. It looks, well, a bit intense at first glance. Do u AU DT plus FU DT plus U plus U DW.
Okay, yeah, that can look daunting.
So let's break it down. That DD, that's just what we're trying to solve for, right? How some quantity changes over time and
Well, it's
space.
the one, the unknown function or process.
And then the terms with DT represent the sort of deterministic evolution, the predictable parts.
Broadly speaking, yes. A often represents diffusion or dispersion, like in the heat equation, and F usually contains the nonlinear interactions.
Okay, and then the big one, the DW at the end. That's the randomness.
That's the stochastic part. DW typically represents increments of a Wiener process or Brownian motion. It's the mathematical model for continuous random noise. And the terms multiplying it, BU plus GU, dictate how this noise influences the system U.
Got it. Now, the paper talks a lot about parabolic systems. What does that mean in this context? It's not just curves on a graph, I assume.
No, definitely not. Here, parabolic refers to a key property of the main operator, often A. It encodes what we call suitable smoothing properties.
Moving properties.
Yeah, think about the heat equation. If you start with a really sharp spike of heat in one spot, it quickly smooths out, diffuses. Parabolic SPDEs often have a similar behavior.
Ah, okay. So even if the starting point, the initial condition, is rough or irregular, the equation itself tends to smooth the solution out over time.
Exactly. The system has this inherent tendency to become more regular as it evolves. And these maximal regularity estimates we'll get into, they help quantify this smoothing, extending it far beyond simple heat equations into complex areas like fluid dynamics.
Interesting. So the system sort of tames itself in a way.
In a mathematical sense, yes. The parabolic nature provides a certain amount of stability against roughness.
And this research, it builds on quite a history, doesn't it? The paper mentions a rich history.
Oh, absolutely. Parabolic evolution equations, even deterministic ones, have been studied for a long time. The authors here position their framework as a kind of bridge.
A bridge.
Yeah, connecting different previous approaches to SPDEs and in some ways extending them. It shows how the field is evolving, building on earlier foundations.
Okay, so if that core equation represents the complex, noisy system, then this concept of maximal regularity seems crucial for actually understanding it. What does it really let us do?
Maximal regularity. It's about making a very precise connection. It connects the smoothness of the solution, the thing you're trying to find, with the smoothness of the inputs.
The inputs being like the forcing terms and the noise.
Exactly. The F, the G, the initial data, even the noise term itself. Maximal regularity gives you sharp estimates on how nice the solution is based on how nice the inputs are.
And why is that so important?
Well, it's absolutely fundamental for proving well-posedness.
Right. Meaning solutions exist, they're unique.
And they depend continuously on the initial conditions. Without well-posedness, your mathematical model isn't very useful for prediction. Small changes in the start could lead to wildly different outcomes. Maximal regularity helps guarantee the model behaves reliably.
It sounds quite technical, which the paper confirms, but it also calls it a well-established body of literature, so it's a core tool.
Definitely. The paper calls it one of two essential ingredients for applying their results alongside what they call nonlinear estimates. It's not some obscure trick. It's foundational for this type of analysis.
So how does adding that random DW term change things for maximal regularity? compared to a purely deterministic equation without the noise.
Ah, that's a key point. The noise, especially if it's modeled by Brownian motion WM, introduces inherent irregularity.
Because the noise itself isn't smooth.
Precisely. Brownian motion paths are continuous, but nowhere differentiable. They're very rough. This roughness means you typically lose some smoothness in the solution compared to the deterministic case. Often, there's what's called a 12 loss of smoothness.
Half a derivative, basically.
Sort of, yeah. The irregularity of W limits how smooth the solution can be. And importantly, the term multiplying the noise, like B, also often acts as a leading order operator, contributing significantly to the equation's behavior, not just as a lower order nuisance.
So the randomness fundamentally limits the niceness of the solution.
It introduces a fundamental roughness that the mathematical framework has to handle rigorously.
Okay, that makes sense. This inherent roughness brings us to another key idea, critical spaces and scaling. Why is finding the right scale or space so important here?
Well, many physical equations have a natural property called scaling invariance.
Cleaning.
Meaning, if you zoom in or out on the system, rescaling space and time in a specific coordinated way, the equation itself basically looks the same. Its fundamental structure doesn't change with scale.
Like fractals, almost. The same patterns at different magnifications.
In a sense, yes, mathematically. And working in critical spaces, specific function spaces like certain Lebesgue or Biesdorf spaces, is often the optimal framework, precisely because these spaces respect that scaling invariance.
Ah, so the mathematical space you choose to work in has the same scaling properties as the physical equation itself.
Exactly. It ensures the math aligns perfectly with the underlying physics. You're analyzing the system in a way that's natural to its own structure without introducing artificial scale dependencies from your choice of mathematical tools.
Can you give an example?
Sure. The 3D Navier-Stokes equations, which describe fluid flow, are a classic case. Certain spaces, like the Lebesgue space L3 or specific Biesdorf spaces, are known to be scaling invariant for Navier-Stokes.
So analyzing turbulence in those spaces is more natural.
It's considered the most natural approach, yes. It allows mathematicians to capture the behavior across different scales, which is crucial for understanding things like turbulence.
Okay, so we have the core equation, the need for maximal regularity to ensure well-posedness, and the idea of using critical spaces to respect the physics.
Sure.
Now, what about the specific tools mathematicians use to actually do all this? The paper mentions some advanced techniques.
Right. There's a sophisticated toolkit involved. One powerful tool mentioned is the H-infinity calculus.
H-infinity? Sounds intimidating.
It's a, well, quite advanced functional calculus. Its development was actually spurred by trying to solve a famous open problem of Cato from decades ago related to square roots of operators.
So deep mathematical challenges drive new tools.
Absolutely. Having a bounded H-infinity calculus for an operator is a very strong property. It essentially guarantees the boundedness of many tricky singular integral operators that pop up in the analysis. It's a way to ensure certain complex mathematical operations behave well.
Like a mathematical guarantee of stability for certain calculations.
That's a good way to think about it, yes. It helps tame potentially problematic parts of the analysis.
The paper also mentions complex and real interpolation. Are these similar?
They are related techniques, often used alongside H-infinity calculus. The names complex and real interpolation are somewhat historical, but they are fundamental methods for constructing new function spaces from existing ones.
So, ways to build the right mathematical setting.
Exactly. They play a significant role in linking different analytical approaches and proving estimates in the right spaces, like those critical spaces we talked about. They help unify classical and more modern techniques.
And another term that comes up is UMD spaces. What's the story there?
UMD stands for unconditional martingale differences. It's a property of certain Banach spaces. These are the abstract vector spaces where a lot of modern analysis happens.
Okay, still sounding pretty abstract.
It is. It originates in probability theory related to martingales, which are models for fair games. But what's fascinating is that this probabilistic notion also turns out to have deep connections to geometry and harmonic analysis.
How so?
Well, if a Banach space has the UMD property, many powerful tools from classical harmonic analysis, things like Fourier analysis, singular integrals can be extended to work even when the functions take values in that abstract Banach space, not just real or complex numbers.
So it lets you apply powerful analytical tools in much more general vector-valued settings, like the settings needed for SBDEs.
Precisely. It dramatically expands the reach of harmonic analysis techniques, allowing them to be applied rigorously to these complex infinite-dimensional evolution equations, including SBDEs.
And quickly, how is the noise itself, the DW, handled in this abstract setting?
It's typically modeled using something called a cylindrical Brownian motion on a Hilbert space, and then stochastic integrals. Integrals with respect to this noise have to be carefully defined, often relying on the UMD property of the underlying space.
But standard tools still work.
Remarkably, yes. Foundational tools like Itô's formula, which is like the chain rule for stochastic calculus, can be shown to hold even in these abstract UMD settings. The core calculus survives the abstraction.
That's amazing. So, with this powerful framework and toolkit, where does it actually get applied? What kinds of real-world systems benefit from this understanding?
The applications are quite broad. The paper highlights several classes. One major area is reaction diffusion equations.
Like in chemistry or biology?
Exactly. Models like the Allen-Cahn equation, which describes phase transitions, think materials changing state, like ice melting or alloys forming microstructures.
Okay.
Then there's the Kahn-Hilliard equation for phase separation, like how oil and water might unmix over time. Also, Lotka-Volterra systems, famous for modeling predator-prey dynamics.
Right, like foxes and rabbits.
And the Gray-Scott model, which can generate incredibly complex evolving spatial patterns seen in some chemical reactions. All these involve both diffusion and reaction, often with noise influencing them.
And what about the fluid dynamics we started with? Turbulence, weather?
That's another huge area of application. The framework discussed is applied directly to the 2D and 3D Navier-Stokes equations.
The big ones for fluid flow.
Yes, fundamental for understanding turbulence, but also crucial for atmospheric and oceanic modeling. The research also covers related systems like the Boussinesq equations, important for convection, and quasi-geostrophic equations used in geophysical fluid dynamics.
So it spans physics, chemistry, biology, geophysics is really foundational.
It provides a unifying mathematical approach to many systems where spatial variation, nonlinear interactions, and randomness all play crucial roles.
So applying this maximal regularity framework to these models, what are the key results? What kind of understanding does it unlock?
Well, a major achievement is proving local and global well-posedness for these often very complex SPDEs.
Meaning we know solutions exist, are unique for at least some time.
Exactly. Local well-posedness means you have a unique solution for a short time. Global well-posedness means the solution exists for all time. Establishing this, especially in the presence of noise and nonlinearity, is often highly non-trivial.
And sometimes solutions don't exist forever, right? They can blow up.
Correct. Another key area is establishing blow-up criteria. These are often called Sarin-type criteria, named after mathematician James Sarin.
What do they tell us?
They provide specific mathematical conditions on the solution itself. If those conditions are met or violated at some point in time, it guarantees that the solution must have blown up, become infinite or undefined shortly before that.
So they help us understand the limits of the model, when the system might break down.
Precisely. They define the boundary between well-behaved solutions and catastrophic breakdown, which is critical for understanding stability.
That sounds crucial. Any other major results?
Yes. Another fascinating one is the parabolic instantaneous regularization effect.
We touched on smoothing earlier.
This is related, but even stronger. It means that even if you start with very rough initial data, maybe just measurable, not even continuous, the solution becomes instantly smoother, often infinitely differentiable in space, for any positive time, however small.
Wow, so the equation immediately smooths things out?
In many cases, yes. It's a very powerful property of these parabolic systems. It implies that the inherent dynamics quickly dominate any initial roughness. This is great for modeling, as it suggests some robustness to imperfect initial measurements.
And the paper also mentioned transferring results.
Right. Because the framework is built on abstract principles like UMD spaces and H-infinity calculus, sometimes results proved in one setting can be transferred or adapted to other related settings, extending the applicability of the findings.
That makes the whole approach very efficient. You prove something fundamental, and it potentially applies across different specific equations.
That's the power of abstraction in mathematics.
So we've seen incredible progress, rigorous tools, broad applications, key insights into existence, blow up, and smoothing. But mathematics is never finished. What are some of the lingering questions, the open problems mentioned in the source?
Oh, there are definitely still challenges driving future research efforts. For instance, finding the most general yet practical sufficient abstract conditions for stochastic maximal LP regularity.
So refining the core theory, trying to find the absolute minimal assumptions needed for the powerful maximal regularity results to hold.
Exactly. Trying to understand its precise boundaries. Another area mentioned is extending results about time regularization, how solutions smooth out over time from simpler Hilbert spaces to the more complex Banach spaces needed for critical settings.
Pushing the theory into those optimal but more difficult critical spaces.
Right. The techniques often become much harder there.
And specifically for Navier-Stokes, which seems like a constant source of challenges.
Yes, the paper points out specific open problems there too. One is establishing well-posedness for Navier-Stokes with significant transport noise. That's when the noise directly affects the fluid velocity field itself, especially when the noise is non-small.
Meaning the random fluctuations are strong enough that you can't just treat them as a tiny perturbation.
Correct. Handling large noise is a major hurdle. Another challenge mentioned is extending the endpoint serine-type criterion for blow-up to certain stochastic versions of Navier-Stokes. These are really frontier questions in mathematical fluid dynamics.
It really shows that even with these powerful tools, there's always more structure, more complexity to understand.
That's the nature of research at the edge.
Okay, so we've journeyed pretty deep today. We went from the basic idea of modeling chaotic random systems.
Through the core SBDEs, the vital concept of maximal regularity for making sense of them.
The importance of critical spaces, the advanced toolkit like H-infinity calculus in UMD spaces.
To the concrete applications in reaction diffusion fluid dynamics and the key breakthroughs like well-posedness and regularization.
And ultimately seeing that even with all this progress, fundamental questions remain open.
And connecting this back, you know, this deep dive really highlights how mathematicians build these incredibly sophisticated abstract frameworks.
Yeah, frameworks that seem purely theoretical at first glance.
But which are essential for getting a rigorous handle on the randomness that's inherent in so many real-world systems. It's abstract theory yielding very concrete understanding.
So for you listening, here's maybe a final thought to take away. It's kind of paradoxical, isn't it? The very noise, the randomness that makes these systems seem chaotic and hard to predict.
Is exactly what drives some of the most fascinating and challenging mathematical developments. The struggle to understand the randomness pushes the theory forward.
So how might a deeper grasp of these stochastic influences help us? Could we better predict or maybe even harness the chaos in other complex areas we haven't even touched on today?
That's the big question, isn't it? What other surprising links might exist between the apparently random and the deeply structured? Where else could this understanding lead?